Chapter 39. Rosmarin. The great feathered serpent spun around in the sky and then dived towards where we were, all frozen in terror. I ripped myself out of my fear. "Run!" I called. We sprinted as fast as we could, even with the injured Keres and Jasmina, and dove behind some ruins as Kukulkan spat flames down at us. He took off back into the air, circling higher and higher. I emerged from hiding as the snake soared off into the sky. "We need to warn the others." I pointed across the ruins to where the soldiers were holding off the army of undead.
"Sure, but Jasmina and Keres need to get back to the castle,"
Rachel yelled. She knelt down by her. Bruises covered the djinn's skin from the bloodletting, and she lay on the ground, clearly in pain. But Keres looked on the verge of death. Her skin was too pale, and her blood still dripped out of her various wounds. Rachel rummaged through her pack and pulled out a green potion. She uncorked the bottle, grabbed the stopper with her mouth, and spat it to the side. She slowly lifted Keres' head and put the bottle to the fairy's mouth.
"Drink,"
she encouraged her softly. Keres managed to take a few sips before she slumped to the ground. Rachel dropped the bottle and shook the fairy until Sahar came over and put her hand on Rachel's shoulder.
"She fainted,"
the sorceress soothed.
"It's okay. The potion will do its work."
Kristoff was already fishing another potion out of his bag that he handed to Jasmina. She took a swig, almost drinking half of the bottle. "Sahar, please tell me you can do something. I think we both know that those potions may not be enough." I looked at my dear friend, and she eyed me. I could tell she was considering something in her head, weighing our options, calculating our survival.
"I may have something, but even you know how dangerous it can be to use."
She ruffled through her bag and pulled out a small brown sack, and I immediately knew what she had. Winnow powder. The same stuff that got Kristoff and me to the Blood Drake's lair without having to make the several days' journey by flight. Made for quick travel, the winnow powder got us there successfully. But when Kristoff had tried to winnow us home, we ended up almost stranded in another section of the mountains not far from the Blood Drake's lair. And the first time I had ever tried to winnow, I had reappeared in a strange land that I'm not even sure was from a part of our world. I trusted Sahar with it, but if she accidentally thought of another place, even for a second, we could end up in unknown lands. Or worse, it could strand us in the nothingness between worlds.
"I'll winnow to the soldiers and back, and then I'll get us to the castle,"
Sahar declared. Winnowing alone was dangerous enough, and with two people it was even more difficult. But I had never heard of someone trying to use the powder to transport 9 people, and at such a distance. Still, it was our only chance of making sure we warned all the necessary parties, and that Jasmina and Keres got the healing they needed. We had no other choice, and if anyone could perform such a mystical feat, it was Sahar. I grabbed Sahar by the shoulders and stared into her dark eyes. They flashed with a resolve I had never seen before. I stepped back and nodded at her. She grabbed a handful of the powder and flashed out of existence. I ran over to Jasmina and Keres to check on them, making sure Jace and Lynx were close by.
"Everyone, we need to link hands," I instructed the group.
Kukulkan turned for another pass, and so we had to break away from the circle. Together, we jumped to the other side of a low wall. A hot wind blew over us, and then flames licked above our heads. The serpent retreated and spiraled up above, probably readying for another flyby. I looked back over the wall just as Sahar reappeared, her body materializing out of thin air.
"Sahar?"
I yelled to her. She ran toward us as we all grabbed hands. I reached my arm across the wall to Sahar, and she grabbed it. The familiar sensations of whisking through the black and nothingness, past different destinations, informed me Sahar had a hold of the group. Or, at least me.
I couldn't see, but I hoped everyone had grabbed onto each other in time. Winnowing felt like an eternity, and yet, in an instant, we stood in the Queen's Garden, back in the safety of Nahuatl. As I stumbled out of thin air, I looked around and counted bodies. Rachel was there, and Lynx, and Jace, Keris, Michaela, and Jasmina. Where was Kristoff? I whipped around and saw him lying on the ground. I raced over to him and wrapped my arms around his neck, but promptly let go as a gasp of pain escaped him. I looked down and saw gashes along his torso. I hadn't remembered him getting hurt like that in the ruins, and as I studied his wound, I realized what must have happened. "You've been spliced," I exclaimed.
"What does that mean?"
Kristoff groaned. "It can happen when you winnow. It's like getting caught between two places, or worlds, even. Come on, we need to get you, Keris, and Jasmina to Katala." Rachel rushed over and helped me get him up. Sahar steadied Jasmina, and Jace and Lynx carried Keris. We were doubly lucky Lynx was with us, because he quickly led us through the hedge maze, and soon we were stumbling up the castle steps. We helped the injured to the infirmary, and after I saw them inside, I ran up to Sophia's room. I pounded on her door, and then barged in without waiting for an answer. She was sitting at a table and jumped up as I entered.
"Rosmarin!"
she shouted at me. I was more than out of breath, and I tried to inform Sophia of the recent events through gasps.
"The ruins. Shadowmancer. Culkin."
"Slow down. Breathe."
Sophia soothed. I took deep breaths, and she handed me her chalice of wine. I took a big gulp, and when I had steadied myself, I continued. "We entered the ruins, and Zillin was still there. He's a shadowmancer, it turns out, and somehow he used Jasmina and Kristoff's powers to awaken Kukulkan. We saw it. It flew out of the ruins." Sophia stared at me with her brown eyes wide. Her mouth hung open, and she shook her head from side to side.
"A shadowmancer?
He is a sorcerer who turned to the dark ways of magic and uses them almost exclusively," I explained to the less experienced werewolf queen. "It takes a very powerful and evil person to become such a skilled shadowmancer. That's why he's been able to form an army of the dead. I assume that we beat them back, but soldiers were on their way to inform you the battle is still going on." I pressed on through Sophia's shock. "But they need reinforcements. Lots of them now, unless Kukulkan is coming here." I hadn't thought about the serpent flying to Nahuatl, but where else would the sorcerer be going? He would kill the soldiers on his doorstep, and then he would bring his army to the city. He had said as much himself. The plan was for the Blood Drake to attack the north while he waged war on the south. There was no doubt in my mind that he would come to Nahuatl. I paced back and forth, unsure of the best course of action. "We need to prepare the city, but we can't abandon the soldiers. Someone will have to tell them to retreat." I spoke so fast I had to catch my breath again. "Sophia, you are queen here. You must be the one to tell the people what to do." I looked to the young queen, and the fear in her eyes matched how I felt. But she held my gaze, and as tears rolled down her cheeks, I could see the resolve build inside her. While I had some fears as to her inexperience and naivete before, Sophia clearly decided to rise to this challenge.
"We will send our armies to meet them,"
she declared.
"We will empty Nahuatl and stop this shadowmancer and his pet where they are. We cannot allow all that death and destruction to reach the city."
Her words resonated inside of me, and stirred something up in me that I hadn't felt almost since arriving in Nahuatl, or maybe even since starting the journey south. It was courage. The resolve in Sophia's voice reminded me of our last stand in Constanta, when zombies had already destroyed much of the kingdom, and then demons erupted from that terrible Draken. In a way, she reminded me of myself, of Kristoff and the Council. When we made the decision to stand and fight ourselves, if we could spare Nawaltle from the same destruction and save countless lives, it would be worth it. All right. I nodded at her. Go tell your soldiers the news. We ran out of her room, each with separate missions. Lynx and Jace must have followed me as they were standing in the hall when we came bursting out.
Soldiers, inform the troops that we are going to Tenochtitlan.
Sophia ordered them.
Yes, ma'am.
They shouted and sprinted down the hall. Meanwhile, I descended two flights and rushed into the infirmary. Sahar and Katala worked on Kristoff, sending spell after spell into Kristoff. His body glowed and radiated with magic, and as each spell flowed through him, his body and face relaxed as the pain dissipated. I slowly walked over to them, and Sahar saw me.
He'll be okay. He's going to need to spend the night here. We all should before charging back into battle.
I agree, I replied.
What's the plan?
Kristoff asked. He reached his hand toward me, beckoning me over. Sophia is ordering her troops to Tenochtitlan. We're taking the fight to them, I reported as I grabbed Kristoff's hand.
That's brave,
he mumbled. Indeed, I agreed. She doesn't want the battle to come anywhere near her people. Kristoff nodded slowly, no doubt remembering the battle at Constanta as I did.
Please, get some rest, my love.
He breathed. I kissed him on the forehead, and his eyes slid closed as he fell asleep, exhausted from all he had experienced. I hugged Sahar and turned to Katala. Thank you both for all you've done. I glanced around the infirmary. How is the fairy doing? And Jasmina?
Jasmina will be all right. Caris is in bad shape, but Katala and I will look after her.
Sahar told me with a soft smile. Thank you, Sahar. I hugged her again and made my way back up to my room, but before entering I knocked on Michaela's door. A second later the fawn appeared in the doorway. How are you holding up? I asked her.
I'm okay. Well, as okay as I can be after seeing a giant snake flying through the air.
She chuckled. Something about her laugh and the way her eyes lit up reminded me of Erwin, and I missed my friend terribly. You know, none of us would blame you if you left. You could go back to Carwyn Forest, far away from all of this. I placed a hand on her shoulder.
I don't think I could, she ventured. I couldn't go back knowing that thing was still out there.
All right, then. Get some sleep. She gave me a soft smile and closed her door. Her determination reminded me of why I was here, and with that heartening thought, I continued with my mission. I walked to another door and knocked on it. Rachel opened it. We're taking the battle to the ruins, I informed her, and she nodded. She went to grab her things, but I stopped her. Rachel, first get some rest. We leave at dawn. She looked surprised, but then grinned at me as she realized how foolish it would be for us to return now. My friend's eagerness to fight was another needed boost to my morale, and I smiled to myself as I returned to my room. For the second time since being at the castle, I had to come back to my room without Kristoff. I peeled off my blood-stained clothes and sank into a warm bath. I imagined Kristoff coming in, as he had done last time when he found me sleeping in the tub. But I finished my bath alone and slid into the plush bed without Kristoff.